distributors up there in Quebec, they do that to me too. I have to listen in French, and then they let you know in the beginning the English message will follow, and on and on and on and on in French, and then they share this little quick English message. So you wonder what they said before. Don't hang on here, because I'm going to talk to these crazy people who can't speak our language. Next Sunday, Pastor wanted me just to give you a quick preview. It's going to be How Does God Change Us? 2 Corinthians 3:18. So if you're wondering how God changes us, next week. If you have your Bibles, open up to Romans 11. Romans 11 is where we'll be today, finishing up chapter 11. Today we'll be looking at the fact that Israel's future includes salvation. Paul here is dealing with something that is occurring still today, and that is a pride issue. We saw that through 9, 10, and 11. Paul is emphasizing this to make sure the Gentiles do not even slightly think for any reason at all that God is done with Israel. And too quickly, due to our stature or knowledge in society, in the church, we may allow ourselves to think that we are better than others. And Paul makes sure that we all understand this. 3 points we'll be going through. There is an insert in your bulletin. Is that we don't be ignorant, know the gospel, and praise God. So I'd invite you all that can stand with me as we read through the verses of 25 through 36. Verse 25, lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob, and this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. On the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time, this morning we have together. We thank you for allowing us to have the scriptures. We thank you for your beautiful word. We pray that you would allow us to be sponges this morning to soak up your word. Allow us each to become more fully developed followers of you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to be looking through these things, and I believe Paul emphasizes this for good reasons. We don't want to think that God makes empty promises. Okay, God never tells us that he's going to do something and then backs out and says he changed his mind. Okay, it's very important that we understand this. So first thing there is, Paul says, don't be ignorant. In some versions, it may say, I don't want you to be unwise, but I like that, don't be ignorant. First, the thing is, he doesn't want you to be ignorant of the mystery. And what is this mystery? In verse 25 there, the second part, it says, a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. He wants them to understand that this beautiful mystery that is occurring is that God has allowed Israel, because of their disobedience and their walk away from him, they're denying the Messiah, he's allowed their hearts to be hardened for a time. emphasis on a time. There will be, that means, a time that that hardening will go away. There'll be a softening of their hearts. And when is that time come? It tells us right there, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Luke 21:24 says, they will fall by the edge of the sword, be led captive among all nations. Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And we see that right now, don't we? Israel is being slammed from every angle, every corner, every way that Israel can be hit is being hit. When will this stop? When the fullness of the Gentiles has come. What does that mean, the fullness? When does this happen? When the last soul is reached. When the last person comes to Christ that God wants saved, that God has seen the fullness happen, that's when the softening of Israel will happen. Now we believe, and they teach many, and you can check the scriptures yourself, that when Jesus comes back, that's when most people will believe that when that last soul is reached is exactly the time that Christ will come back. When that person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, Christ will come back. So if you want Christ to come back sooner, yes, we need to pray and we ask for it. But what is the other way? We need to go out and reach our neighbors. We need to reach this world. Because it could be we're waiting on you to talk to your neighbor. Right? We're just waiting for you to reach that one person across the street and Jesus is coming back. And Israel is waiting for you too. Now, what does it say there in verse 26? Israel will be saved, okay? Don't be ignorant of this. Israel will be saved. Now, this is a promise from God. The quote there in verse 26b through verse 27 is from Isaiah 59:20. Now, this does not mean that Jews cannot get saved individually now. Right, there is many missionaries that reach out to Israel. There is many Jews that have come to Christ. There's many teachers on the radio stations that are Jews for Jesus is one of them out there. There's a lot of them, and they're very knowledgeable about the Word of God. Amazingly knowledgeable about the Word of God. And they'll tell you that it was amazing, that it was like they just couldn't see it. But then all of a sudden, their eyes were opened and they saw it. The Holy Spirit worked in their hearts and allowed them. But what it talks about here is that as if like a great revival will occur. A great revival. And what better than when Jesus in the second coming were to come and the Jews were to see this Messiah? To see Him, the one that they had crucified, come back and allow them one more chance to get right with Him. And it doesn't say, when it says all, it does not mean that every single person, because even when God talks about us as the church, He says all, He means those who will believe. All those of who will believe is that will be the nation. Those will be the ones. And we go down to verse 28, as regards the gospel. I think it's important, Paul emphasizes all through Romans, that we understand the gospel. The gospel is the ticket, right? That is what we put our faith in, that Jesus Christ came. He lived a life here on this earth. He died on the cross, and we do not serve a Savior that's still dead. He rose from the dead. That's what proved that He is different. His teachings are different. He is God in the flesh. He proved it by allowing us to put Him on the cross and Him defeating death. Now it's important that we know the gospel. Now it says here that they are enemies for your sake. Enemies for your sake. And what does that mean? Was that Paul is telling Israel, the Jews here, that And the Gentiles, that they understand that the Gentiles need to understand that the Jews are in this form of mind, this blindness for you. Because see, it says in John 10, Christ makes it very simple that He is the door. In John 14:6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. You understand, if you don't have Christ, you've got nothing. You can believe in God, you can believe in everything else that you want in this world. If you don't have Christ, you've got nothing. It's Christ is the door. Understand that? There's no climbing through a window to get to heaven. Understand, there's one way. There's a narrow path, and at the end of it, there's a door. The only way to get through it is through Christ. Without Christ, you've got nothing. No hope, nothing. So due to them not accepting Christ, they've become enemies of the gospel. But he goes on there, but as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. He makes sure they understand that they're not enemies in a sense that they are put aside and done, but they are elected. They are still precious to God. Last week we talked about how they are the apple of God's eye. And I always remind that to people who may not be Christians, who will say that, well, why doesn't the United States just say forget about Israel? Well, because they're the apple of God's eye. Understand? So if I want to make sure that I am right with God, if you go and say forget about Israel, then that means you're against Israel, and that means you're poking God in the eye. Now, all of us can think about it. A children would even understand. Is God the one you want to be poking in the eye? No. I'm going to tell you that life is going to be rough. You start poking God in the eye. Okay? It's the Jews, Israel is important to him. He made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he will keep them. You see, it goes on there. It says that the gifts in verse 29 and the calling of God are irrevocable. When God calls them and promises them and tells them, I will do this with you, he means it. Even if it's a select few, he will still do it, right? Last week we talked about Noah. If it took only one man and his family, God was still going to keep his promises. God was going to continue to use them. So we need to keep that in mind, that this remnant is important, and that God does not, Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Israel, no matter what comes upon it, no matter how many people try to destroy this little nation that's barely the size of Jersey, no one will consume it. Because that is God's people. They are selected by God. They are precious to him. Now, Paul wants to make sure that us Gentiles don't allow our heads to become swollen with pride. He reminds us, in verse 30, that for just as you were at one time disobedient to God. He wants to remind them that you say, well, look at this. You know, there's folks out there that say, well, the Jews killed Jesus. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. Christ said, no man takes my life. No man takes my life. He made sure that you understand that. No one can take it. He gives it. It's our sins that put Christ on the cross. You put Christ on the cross. It's because of our sins that he had to go. It's because of our disobedience. Paul wants you to understand that we are not better than anyone. Don't think because the Jews denied the Messiah, that means that you're greater because you've accepted Jesus. We're all disobedient. We've all made bad choices. Don't get proud. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your kindred, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse you. And here, and in you and all families of the earth shall be blessed. God had a perfect plan to reach the entire earth. He wanted everyone coming to him. Did he select Israel? Did he select the Jews? Yes. But he wanted them to reach out. See, the problem was the Jews had this mindset that you had to become a Jew to get to God. God's not all about of certain faith, a denomination, as you could call it now. I mean, there's some that'll even tell you that you've got to become a Catholic. You've got to become a Baptist. You've got to become a Methodist. That's ridiculous. Right? Because what does it say on the door? All who are Baptists, come to me. Right? You don't get to heaven and it says Baptists only. It doesn't. Who's the door? Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. We need to remember that it does not come down to doing a list. We talked about that last week. Those things are for us. Doing those things, being a blessing to others, reaching out. This morning was great, Sunday school class, to really challenge us. Are we dying daily? Are we just sitting in this comfort? You know, many people's pastors say it, and it's so true. It's level at the foot of the cross. It's level. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you're doing right now, right? Jesus sat at that well with that woman that most people would never even talk to. He met her right where she had to be met at, right there at the well. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, right? Every single one of us are a sinner. Every single one of us are in desperate need of a Savior. Every single one of us are disobedient to God. Think about it. Even after you get saved, are you honestly going to tell me that you're some super Christian? We make mistakes every day. We slip and fall every day. Yet still, as Paul wants you to understand, God allowed this. God saw this. Why? There at the end of verse 32, that he may have mercy on all. Just so that we could truly understand that God has some beautiful, wonderful mercy. He is a great God. It's crazy for me to think that people actually believe that the Lord is up there with like a whip, just waiting to strike you. God allows us, yes, life is tough. The Christian faith, walking it the way we're supposed to, is hard. You know, Kyle says that in the Not a Fan study, that he apologizes publicly because he doesn't want to sell Jesus as cheap. Jesus said the cross, you got to carry this. It's going to be rough. He told his disciples, folks, guys, look around. They don't love me. They're not going to love you. Don't expect me to leave and the world just welcome you in. I mean, that's the litmus test right there. Does this whole world excited about you? Does the world love you? Does everybody say that they just feel so comfortable around you? I mean, Jesus says they ought not to. You know, some people, you know, will even comment that your preaching makes me feel bad. But if I present the Word of God and you read the Scriptures, that's all I'm showing here. I give a quick little thing on the side here. If that convicts your heart, it's not me. I get no credit. So I love about Alistair Begg's challenge that when he went over to China as a young man, and there was a small pulpit like this there. And he, as he came up and preached, he set the pulpit up, he put the Word of God down, and he'd preach. And this older man came up, and he would take the pulpit and move it aside. And then he'd walk up and down the aisles and talk to the people. And every time that Alistair Begg went back up, he'd drag the pulpit back up there, put his Bible down, then he'd preach. And the folks in China, they thought this was hilarious. Look at these two goofy Americans. They can't figure out what to do here. But at the end, he told them that, what I want you to understand is that I put the Scriptures here because this is center point right here, the Scriptures. I may walk over here and talk over here, but I want you to understand that that is center point. This is what's important, is the Word of God. So if anything happens to me while I walk over here, just get another preacher. Because the Word of God will last for how long? Ever. Preachers come and go. You say, well, this preacher, that guy, he's just phenomenal. Well, don't give him credit. It's all about Jesus. If he tries taking that, watch, because the Lord will take him. It's not about us. It's all about Him. let's go on and look at that. Praise God. Look in verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments. How inscrutable His ways. I mean, I want you to stop and think about this. God in eternity, way back, was talking with Jesus and decided to make earth, create man, and they knew everything was going to happen the way it did. When they created earth, they knew that Jesus was going to have to go down on this earth one day, become a man, suffer, go through pain, go through agony, do all these things so that their creation could come and be with them. Stop and think about that. If any of us created anything, you make a set. I think about my son, these Lego sets. If I knew that I would create this Lego set and during the night it was going to come and after me and attack me, I would not create a Lego set, would I? It's ridiculous. I would never say, you know, Caleb, let us die for this Lego set. Let us die for this creation that we made. It would be ridiculous. I'd say, forget about it, Caleb. This thing's going to take our life over. It's going to mess things up. We're not doing it. Trash it. But look at this. How Paul wants you to think about this. The depth of the riches, the wisdom, the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments. You know, you look back in the Old Testament, people look at that and say, look at what God allowed to happen to Israel. Look what God allowed to do this and that. But all of it happened for you, for me, so He could get to us. Why let Jesus go through what He did? Why let all of this happen? It was all because He wanted to reach us. And the quote here is from Isaiah 55:9. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 40:13-14. Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows Him His counsel? Whom did He consult? Who made Him understand? Who taught Him the path of justice? Taught Him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding? You understand that? No one taught God. He knows. He is God, an amazing, powerful, wonderful God that desires you to wake up in the morning and talk with Him. He wants you. He wants a relationship with you. Isn't that amazing? And that's why Paul, what a beautiful way to close out here. Verse 36, for from Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. It's all about God. And folks, this is the same desire that Paul has as I have for Berean. Folks, everything we do here, everything needs to be about God. Everything that occurs within this building needs to be a resemblance of how the Lord would be. You know, they're not a fan study. He says, think about it as if Jesus walked into your office place first. We need to act that way here. We're going to do some construction here. Jesus should be able to be present while we're doing the construction. When we have Bible studies Wednesday night, you'd say, well, how is that possible? Folks, there is Bible studies that I believe even Jesus would not want to go to. That's a problem, right? We should have a study here that the Lord wants to be present. We should see a beautiful example. Anyone should be able to walk through these doors, sit in these pews, and say, Jesus is here. There is a beautiful, wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit in this building. It needs to be more than just family. It needs to be right in your hearts, not just actions out. It needs to be your heart. The memory verse for this week is that for from Him, through Him, to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Folks, let's walk and talk in a way that brings glory to Him. pray. Father God, I thank you Lord, we thank you that you would even allow us to partake of your ministry. God, that you would harden people's hearts so that we could be reached. And God, I pray that each one of us would partake and want to be part of this time when the fullness of the Gentiles will happen. God, help us to be out there reaching people so we can be home with you sooner. God, help us to live a life on this earth in a way that every moment we're ready to see you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would guide us, give us that wisdom. Allow these scriptures that we memorize week after week to just be imprinted on our brain so that when we need them, they come forth. Holy Spirit, help us. Allow the words of God to be so, to be right in front of our eyes. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you so much for willingly going to that cross, giving your life so that I could be in fellowship with you. And God, I thank you for just the work that you're doing in and through Berean. Lord, a building full of believers for you. God, just help us, Lord, to not be fans, but to be true followers of Jesus Christ. Help us, forgive us for ever trying to sell you cheap. Help us to be serious about our walk. Help us to become more developed followers of you. Please give us that strength and wisdom that you promise when we make ourselves available to you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.